these pals in the music business from time to time. And you break out these classic rock albums. And then I got to be the fool that goes and gets married the week that Styx, Journey, and REO Speedwagon is actually in town.
Which, by the way, we already saw.
Right. We saw them in Vegas. That doesn't mean you can't see them twice.
Yeah, you're right.
Styx is worth seeing twice.
Yeah.
So is REO and Journey.
I liked them all.
Calling live from Chicago, Illinois, where they're playing, and I know this because I was in Chicago all week. Styx is playing with Journey, Night Ranger, REO, Heart, all these bands playing in Chicago. It's huge this weekend, yeah. Big festival going on out in the Chicago area. For JY, my pal from Styx, it is home and has been home for the better part of years. I don't know how many years exactly, but JY, my man, how's it going?
Nasty man, I'm great here.
You're in Chicago.
I'm in the great city of Chicago, my friend.
What part of Chicago are you from?
I grew up on the South Side.
South Side, Sox fan.
Yeah, I suppose that, you know, when the two do, as much as I cheer for both teams, and actually I tell people these days I pray for both teams.
Well, right, and there's a lot of that going on, too. Their Hail Mary's being set all over to Windy City for both those.
When the two play each other, there's a part of me that likes it when the Sox, who are sort of the, you know, the unfavored stepchildren, at least of the national media, if they lay a whooping on the Cubs every now and then, it's we get a kick out of it on the South Side.
Well, right, and I would think that a lot of people deep down, unless you're a fuzzy Cubby fan, the White Sox are very underappreciated. Jim, I was out there for the All-Star game, and I still do not understand what the problem is with Comiskey Park, why people hate it so much. And I guess it's because it was the last old school stadium that looks like a stadium and not like some throwback to Ebbets Field. But I love Comiskey Park. I love the new Comiskey. I think it has so many great seats down on the lower bowl. They got the delicious corn thing they got going there. Great concessions and sausages and stuff. And easy in, easy out. You get off the subway, you're right there. No fuss, no muss. I don't have a problem with Comiskey Park.
Well, you know what, the mayor, Richie Daley here, he takes care of the people at Bridgeport and the south side of the great city of Chicago.
You're going back to your roots now. But, you know, with the White Sox and stuff, I mean, every time I'm in Chicago, I see it and I feel it. They are like the redheaded stepchild. You know, they get kicked around and the Cubs get all the love. And the bottom line is the White Sox have done a whole lot more winning than the Cubs have done over the last 20, 30 years.
I mean, obviously, ownership of the White Sox owns the Bulls, which during a certain period of time won quite a few championships there.
Well, some would say Michael Jordan won those championships.
Well, I mean, and then I'm standing next to those people, but they still manage to assemble a team around them and keep them together and make it happen. And so if they can find a Michael Jordan for the White Sox, they got it made.
JY from Styx joining us. JY, when are you guys in here? I mean, look, my beautiful fiance, Jen's here. Jen, say hello to JY.
Hi, JY.
Nice to see you.
How are you?
You know, we're getting married a week from today. I know it creeped up on us kind of quickly, but you guys are coming through the week we're not here, which is why we came out to Vegas, which is why we were there for the sound check and all that stuff at the beginning of the tour. And, you know, I'm bumming. Ray's getting to go to the concert, and, you know, we're going to be, you know, probably like half naked, half drunk, laying on the beach. It'll probably be 90 degrees. We'll have a lot of cocktails and food. I mean, we're just going to be miserable not seeing the band when you guys come through this week, you know.
Well, I guess we're Wednesday night at the MCI Center.
MCI Center, yeah. And you know, this tour is amazing because when we went out to Vegas, like, I'm asking, who's the headliner? Who's the open? You never know. I mean, it's Journey, Styx, and REO, and I'll be honest to God with you, I camped out for every one of these bands. I mean, overnight, back when I was, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, I was in that rebellious teenage period. Every one of these bands I went to see on my own to sold out Capitol Center. You guys did 2-3 nights on the Paradise Theater tour. Journey, same thing on the Escape tour in Frontier. God, when REO came out with High Infidelity, it was, you know, I mean, maybe the biggest success out of all the bands, most albums sold, with Keep On Loving You and all that stuff. And now all three, you're in the same place at the same time. I mean, to me, this is must-see concert going, you know?
All three bands had a number one album in 1981. As you say, that was back in the heyday. And we were rivals back then, but, you know, people say, how do you get along these days? And it's really sort of like when you see Foreman, Frazier, and Ali, not to really make too many sports analogies here, but...
Make them. We're a sports show, JY.
They all, you know, all those guys, they saw the world from a unique vantage point that very few people share. And so they have a unique connection to one another that when they're sitting in the room, they can talk about things that nobody else will have ever experienced. And kind of a similar vibe for these three bands down the road. We've worked with a lot of people, done a lot of things, but we've seen the top of that mountain at one point in time, and not everybody gets there.
It's funny you bring up a boxing reference, because the last time you sat with me, you'll never forget that, will you? I mean,
no,
you and I have known each other
I haven't seen yet, but
I mean, you and I have known each other like a dozen years, and this whole Don King thing. JY was with me at the Super Bowl, and we're sitting in the media center, and you guys, of course, played the Super Bowl like two out of the last 3 years, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, so you guys do like the halftime thing or the pregame thing.
We were there in Tampa Bay when the Ravens took it to the Giants.
I'll never
forget that day.
Yeah, what a great one. What a great day. But up until my wedding next Friday.
Seahun. No, Brandon Stokely's behind him. He catches a touchdown pass. Seahun burned again.
Yeah, I'm getting misty. Don't get me misty like this, JY. Don't do this to me.
Yeah, but there's going to be enough of it next week when he gets married.
I know, yeah. That'd be the second greatest day. Maybe it'll be a tie, 1-1A. But JY sitting with me at the media center 6 months ago. We're in San Diego. Nice weather day, by the way. And Don King can only do my show now. So I sit Don King down with JY and I. And JY, you want to pick the story up as to what happened? Because it was classic radio.
I had never met Don King before in my life.
And you're a boxing fan, right?
Oh, I'm a huge boxing fan.
Right.
But, ultimately, you're saying, oh, Don, you know JY from Six, Chicago. Oh, sure, I know JY from Six. We go way back, and he's waving his two American flags there. And he just went on and on and on, and he eventually steered the conversation around to whatever fights he was promoting at the time, and nothing to do with the Super Bowl. But
only in America can JY and a great Styx band.
You've got to send me that tape.
I got to send you the pictures, because the picture is even more priceless, because you have this look of derangement in your eyes. Like, you couldn't believe that it was actually happening. But only in America could Journey, REO Speedwagon, and the great Styx band come together. The greatest of the Bay City and the Windy City coming together. That'd be pretty good. You guys should hire Don King to be your spokesperson for the tour, man.
Oh, man. Well, I know that at one point in time he was Michael Jackson's back in the Victory Tour days almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, so. I do remember that. He got into the concert business for a period of time. For you guys with the bands getting together, let's get on to this, because REO was a Illinois thing. Styx was an Illinois thing. Clearly Journey was West Coast, Bay Area, Santana, kind of Neil Schon spinoff jam band kind of thing going on before the success came. Were you and REO really rivals? I mean, would that be fair to say that you didn't like each other, you wanted to one-up each other back in the day when you had your hair? Well, your hair's kind of still long, but back in the day when you were maybe a little
when
shorter
big hair
in the tooth?
Was in.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think we felt like we were in competition with everybody. And, the more we get painted with the same brush, some writer in New York, is trying to paint every band that comes out of the Midwest, Styx, REO, Cheap Trick, blah, blah, blah.
Bob Seger, out of Detroit.
Kansas, it's like they all sound the same to this guy sitting in New York City. And, and we were busy trying to differentiate ourselves from them. And, and granted, there are a lot of similarities, but there are also a lot of differences. And when you're young, you want to be noticed for who you are and what you do. And comparisons, we'd rather been compared to the Who than REO Speedwagon in our day. But, in retrospect and in hindsight, the bands do have, a number of similarities. There still are plenty of differences, but we share an amazingly common fan base, which I was really unaware of until we started touring together back with those guys in about 4 years ago.
And that was REO, right?
It's like, when these two bands are together, one and one makes five. It's pretty amazing.
Well, it really is amazing. You guys did DVD together. You did albums together. You would get on stage at the end of shows and do mutual songs together. Kind of like a symbiotic thing that Billy Joel and Elton John have created over the last 10 years, where they tour together now. And, hey, if the wife likes Billy Joel and the husband likes Elton John, there's something for everybody or a couple to go see Journey, REO, and Styx. And now, even out in Chicago this weekend, and JY, I heard it on the loop. I think I had the loop on for three straight days when I was in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And every 5 minutes, they were promoting this thing you got going this weekend, because not only your bands, but 38 Special, who I love, Night Ranger, who, of course, has some ties with Tommy from the band that they put together with Ted Nugent and Damn Yankees. You got Heart in there this weekend. I mean, all these bands, it seems to me, you guys should do a, don't take offense, Oldapalooza. You know, 80s Palooza or something, that if you guys all got together and barnstormed, you know, maybe you'd sell even more tickets and there'd be more of a festival thing or whatever for geezers like myself and half geezers like my future wife to maybe come out and see seven or eight bands. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, the amazing thing is that we just did about 10,000 tickets up at Buffalo where the Sabres play hockey, and the Lollapalooza down the street in Syracuse at 2,000 tickets sold, they canceled the show.
It's amazing because Lollapalooza's in trouble this year,
yeah,
and you guys are doing big business. Hey, the night out in Vegas, you couldn't even get me a ticket. I mean, it was so packed.
No, sold out. We sold out Joe Louis here a few weeks ago. We're going to have 15,000 people tomorrow night in Chicago. Sold out the place where the Timberwolves play basketball up there, and Philadelphia is going to be probably 10, 12,000 people, and I think MCI Center we're going to have 8, 9,000 people. So it's yep, the geezers with marshals. Here we come.
Well, yeah, I mean, for changes for you, and I guess this is something that I find fascinating. JY, I mean, you know I'm a Styx fan. You know I'm a Journey fan, REO, and I've already admitted that I camped out for concert tickets. But, like, you guys were, like, it. When I was, like, 11 years, I mean, when Paradise came out, like, I was like, 12, 13 years old. I mean, you were my favorite band in the whole world. Styx and Rush, those are my bands. And to get older and to have a chance to know you and hang out and see the band and see the bands come around and what, I often wonder, I have such a romance. The first concert I ever saw was a Styx concert. It was at the Baltimore Arena. The Babies were supposed to open up. For whatever reason, they had disbanded or they were sick. I don't even know what the deal was. But it was in 79. I was on the Cornerstone Tour. I bought a tour shirt. I bought a poster. Babe was the number one song in the country when you guys came through in the winter that year. And it was the first concert I ever saw. And then I camped out for the Paradise Theater and all that stuff. And I always have this romance about what it must have been like to tour in that era. And I see these movies like the one that Cameron Crowe did about the rock stars, and I see Led Zeppelin and The Song Remains the Same, and you know, the old videos of what it was like to tour being a rock and roll band, and Kiss does a lot of stuff with their stuff in the 70s. How much has it changed in 25 years to put a bus out, to be a band that's out on the road right now and certainly a little older, maybe not the same kind of energy you had at that point, but what was it like? And how much has it changed over 25 years touring and being in a rock band that plays concert arenas and people line up for your tickets and autographs and all that stuff?
Well, I'd say, there was really, for us, particularly when your audience is teenaged and college age, there truly can be like a mania thing. But I think those kind of mania moments are a little bit less prevalent now because music back then was the only real art form that was sort of there for young people. And movies were really made with older people in mind. They hadn't really, until MTV in a way, they almost didn't get into sort of targeting stuff like that.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Paradise Theater and Cornerstone, I mean, your heyday, so to speak, there were no video games. There were barely arcades. They were just getting started up. There was no internet. No cell phones, none of that kind of stuff.
So music was at the center of almost every young person's life, and pop music, rock music, what have you. So it was an incredible time. And now there's tons of things to compete with. And I've got a friend who's a huge music fan, grew up in the south side of Chicago, his 12-year-old son. Really isn't into music. He kind of, plays his video games, got his computer on, he's on the internet, and that's what he's into. You know, it shocks me that, but it may just very well be that there is no, that maybe, to me, rock at its core starts with teenage rebellion. And ultimately, it always has to get back to that, and that's why I think rap music was so successful, because it was the next most radical thing after what we did in the 70s and 80s. And then there's this anger rap metal kind of a thing that's sort of come along. I think a lot of people just can't connect with all that anger. I mean, it's certainly there, but when it's so over the top, I think I said, well, I'm angry, but I'm not that angry.
Right.
Kind of a thing. So I think they turn their interest to other places. Probably, they just, something else is speaking to them louder than the music is.
For you, with the thought of going on the road and getting on a tour bus at this point, could you imagine 25 years ago that you'd be doing it and doing it with bands that you clearly admitted were rivals of yours at that time? And they were, you know, you walked in, you had $10 or $8 to plunk down on an album. You could buy Escape, or you could buy High Infidelity, or you could buy Paradise Theater. Some people bought all three, but at the end of the day, if you only had money for one, you had to pick one.
Well, you know, we've got, there's some hated rivalries here, and to think that someone can go from playing for the Chicago Bears and then the next year they wind up playing for the Packers in the era of free agency now. They sure as heck are entitled to do that. We want to see people be able to better themselves economically if someone's willing to pay them more. But it destroys that feeling that we used to have of, you know, wanting, you know, to kill those cheeseheads.
Well, I would say for you, with like I said, with the touring and getting around, is it easier today than it was 25 years ago? I mean, putting a show on for people and really your show's all about the music at this point. I mean, there are no skyrockets or bombs or not too much with the video. And if you do it, it's a lot easier to do. You guys always drop the disco ball during Come Sail Away. You've been doing that for 25 years. Is it easier getting around and playing now?
Well, you know, now that we're in our very late 40s, it takes a little more energy. You have to basically conserve your energy after the show in ways we didn't have to worry about 20 years ago. But, you know, there's still nothing like those 2 hours I spend on stage every night. It's like you're scoring, you know, you've got the winning touchdown at the Super Bowl every night when we take that stage. That's how the crowd treats us.
So people want to know, who's the opener, who's the closer, who's the star of the Oreo Styx Journey show?
I think, you know, Journey has overall sold the most albums, and I think their success sort of went later into the 80s when people were selling more albums, because we sort of broke up in 83, and I think Oreo after High Infidelity did sort of tapered off pretty quickly as well. So Journey really, legitimately, I think, closes every show because they've sold more records, and honestly, they said, hey, you know, Journey was having a hard time finding, you know, a package to put together that the promoters would get excited about, and when we finally were added to the package, we exacted a very large price from them to add us to this whole thing. You know, that's when promoters were very interested in saying, okay, now you've got the thing that you really need. You need Journey and Stick Together and REO thrown in for good measure. So I'm happy to let Journey try and follow these two great bands every night. They've got to go on after people whose average age in the audience is probably 35 to 40 years old. And they go on the stage at, you know, at the earliest, maybe 10 o'clock at night. And try and keep people's interest on a Thursday night or a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night, like it's going to be next week. They got a tall order,
and the folks got a few cocktails in them probably at that point too. JY from Styx hanging out. Let me just get a little news out here. Kobe Bryant charged today with rape out in Colorado. Or sexual assault, excuse me. I guess that's the politically correct term for it. He now has admitted that he was guilty of adultery, but not of rape. We just spoke with the Lakers PR. The team is preparing a general statement. You're going to be hearing and reading about this for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks to come. JY, it's almost like a whole, like, and I know you're an NBA guy too, being in Chicago. I mean, this is a whole OJ thing going to happen. I mean, the media is going to get a hold of this, and it's just, this thing's going to get ugly before it's all over with.
Well, you know, I think that... you know, who knows? There's two sides to every story, and
we're going to get 100 sides once the media gets hold of this.
I don't think the mailman can help him out here. So
yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. JY, last thing for you. I was at Chicago All-Star Game the whole bit during the course of the week, and Chicago being a great sports city. And every time I spent time out there, it always amazes me how rabid sports still is there, and especially the rabid nature for baseball, because, I mean, in Baltimore, it's kind of weaned off, died off a little bit with the losing and that sort of thing. Yet the Cubs are famous for losing. The White Sox, to some degree, are famous for not winning. and yet it continues on every time I'm there.
Hope springs eternal.
And I see this
city.
Just incredible passion for sports, and I hear the outcry of what's happened to Soldier Field. Man, I'm not even from Chicago, and I got no use for the Bears, but what they did to that stadium, Who put the spaceship in the middle of Soldier Field?
It looks like a flying saucer landed in the middle of Soldier Field.
It looks like aliens are about to come out onto the field. It's crazy. But for you, speak to that a little bit, being an old-line Chicago sports fan and a guy who, you know, follows the teams and has a real passion for all things Chicago.
Well, you know, we were the last day at Comiskey Park. We were there, and I know you've already said good things about it previously to me getting on the air here. But we were there the last day, and we sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game at the seventh inning stretch or whatever we did. And, you know, the park seemed so beautiful that day, and the idea that they were tearing it down just blew my mind. And to see the spaceship land in Soldier Field,
And to see the Chicago Stadium come down, too. I mean, the whole thing.
I still have this mental picture in my mind, because we were rehearsing right near the Chicago Stadium, of that thing being knocked down, and such incredible things happened there. You know, there's political conventions going back to the, you know, to 1896 that happened at the Chicago Stadium, and they're knocking this damn thing down. It just, it's sad. And it's sad what happens in the name of progress.
And it's really the changing of the guard's unbelievable there. I mean, when you know, 15 years ago, you walk in, there's the stadium, there's Comiskey, there's Wrigley, and there's the old Soldier Field. Now you go in, it's a whole different gig now, is it not?
Yeah, it is. Well, I guess who's ever tried to stop it, you know, there's lots of things we try and stop that we can't stop these days. And so you got to roll with the changes.
Roll with the changes, baby. There you go. The best of times are yet ahead. Absolutely. Hey, Jay White, it's always a pleasure. I'm so sorry we're going to miss the show, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to take some Sticks, some Mario, some Journey. We're going to crank it up right there in the room as maybe some
a tribute
to you guys while we're on vacation. What do you think of that?
Sounds like a wonderful, wonderful plan.
And by the way, the best of times is a part of our wedding, just to let you know.
Beautiful.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, we really appreciate the friendship and you coming on, and we'll see you somewhere down the road, man.
You got it, all right, you guys.
Give our best to the Sticks
Thanks.
Band.
All right.
Tell Glenn I said, what's up, all right?
All right.
See you later, man. All right.
Take care.
JY out, and we got to go get Melvin Moore because Melvin's down at the ballpark. Jeter standing by with the All-Star, Melvin Moore.